Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm pumped, man. Today I have Brandon LaRue with me, who is an outstanding human being, individual. So this guy, and you're going to hear about it, I like to bring on high performers, and he is a high performer in pretty much every level. He's a former wrestler. He's a current wrestling coach. And so that's kind of how we connected. Plus, we're both supplement heads, and we love nutrition and fitness. And so we connected that way. But Brandon runs a Well-Built Humans. That is his company. And then within that, he has Well-Built Kettlebells and Well-Built Supplements, a wide variety of things. But honestly, overall, if I were to give him a label, it would be coach, because he coaches people to become high-performance athletes, high-performance human beings, just high-performance husbands, wives, individuals. So Brandon, man, thank you for being on.
Thanks a lot, Coach P. Yeah. Get that out of the way. Thanks, Chad. I appreciate you inviting me on, and I'm excited, man. It's been a while since we've had a good conversation, so I think we're overdue for a good one tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll start here so the audience can kind of get to know you a little bit. Tell me about, like, where did you grow up, and then sports, because I know you're still an athlete, but what all sports did you play growing up, and how'd you get into them?
Yeah. So I grew up in Southeast Minnesota, a little town called La Crescent, Minnesota. So it's by La Crosse, Wisconsin, just north of Iowa. I was a jock growing up. I was a studious though too. Like I liked school and all of that. I sang choir all the way through high school. So I got an appreciation for the arts, but you know, sports was my thing. And I was a three sport athlete. Played football, baseball, and I wrestled. And I found some good success in all three of those sports. And be quite honest with you, I wanted to play all three of them in college, you know, but that's about the time, you know, that you might recommend this too, is I recommend kids play as many as you can for as long as you can. And when I went to college, I was committed to being a two sport athlete, at least. So I went on to the Division II level and started playing both football and baseball. Almost went and played football and wrestle at a different D2 school, but I ended up going the football baseball route and ended up eventually specializing in baseball. I don't know if you knew that or not, Chad, but so I had a good run and learned a lot of lessons along the way, and maybe we'll talk about some of those things tonight. And graduated from Minnesota State University Mankato, which is D2 school, Mankato, Minnesota, and then got my master's degree. My undergrad was in exercise science, and then my master's degree was in strength conditioning. And so my passion has always been around, I guess, human performance is a good way to put it. I wouldn't pigeonhole myself as just a strength coach, although I'm very passionate about strength conditioning, athletic development, but I'm also very, very passionate about nutrition, you know, supplementation, like you alluded to, but then also mindset, just how to leadership development and how that really is the secret ingredient, you know, to making all of it work. I got married to my girlfriend from college, named Jenny, and we have three kids. We lived up in the Twin Cities area for a number of years. We just moved back to my hometown, and where I'm now involved with the youth wrestling program here in town. And I was involved up in the Twin Cities area with a, a good program, Lakeville North, for about 10 years as a JV head coach, assistant varsity coach. So, and Minnesota's got a great, you know, as you know, great wrestling tradition in this state. So, and then I got all these other plates that I'm spinning, like you alluded to, the well-built humans thing. It's only, what is it, 18 months, maybe going on almost 2 years old, this company, Well-Built Humans, and it was birthed out of adversity, like many great things are. It was birthed out of adversity. And you know, you and I experienced kind of this same brand of adversity where we had a business and it kind of imploded to nothing. Nothing wasn't our fault. It was outside of our control. But a lot of great things have stemmed from that, you know, from that adversity. And that's where Well-Built Humans was born. I knew I wanted to continue to be my own boss, so to speak, and coach and serve others. And Well-Built Humans was an idea. And I wanted to work with something that was broad, well-built humans. You know, sometimes people think that it's just about, you know, a physique, and it's not. You know, that's part of it. I think we really have to take our fitness and our strength and stuff very seriously, but it's about being a well-rounded, well-built individual with our faith, your family, your fitness, your finances, your personal development, your all those things. So, and along with that came an offshoot of Well-Built Kettlebells. So I distribute, we have our own brand of kettlebells and online training programs, and that's evolving into other things as well. And then Well-Built Supplements is another kind of offshoot of the Well-Built brand. And we just offer about 15 different really high quality supplements that that I believe in, that I think people can benefit from. So it's been a fun ride, you know, navigating and spinning all these plates. I'm kind of a creative guy, so I like to create content, and you are too, you know. That's why I think you and I, if we were closer, we'd probably hang out a lot more.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too, because you know, my wife, both my daughters, they're really artistic. My mom and dad can both paint. Multiple people in my family play instruments. I don't do any of that, right? I was just a straight up athlete.
You can dance.
Yeah. Say, yeah, I dance, but like, I feel like I have a ton of creativity and it's expressed physically. Right. So in the sport of wrestling, and same thing, I was a football player, baseball player, I can dance real well. So all those things, but then constantly coming up with you and I are both authors. You know, we've written books. And so I feel like creativity is expressed in all different ways. And like you said, you and I have a lot of the same interests and a lot of the same things that we do. But I think also some of that stems from the same background. Although I cannot sing, I wish I could, because man, I love music, love it. So I wish I could be in choir and sing like you did. I did not know that about you, but that is awesome.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I can still, you know, I don't know if I'm going to sing for you tonight or anything like that, but I don't know. There was just something about, you know, my grandmother was a music teacher, and I don't know. I always just really enjoyed it. And to this day, man, I am a rock star in my caravan when I'm driving, you know. And there might be, you know, like, as a creative, you're always dreaming too. It's like, man, maybe someday if my daughters get into a play, I'll do a play with them, you know, like I'll be part of that, or daddy daughter duet type of deal. I'd like to be a part of that, you know? So I like to, you know, keep the vocal cords sharp.
Yeah. Well, I know that with my athletes, like I love it whenever they are diverse. And not just in sports, but as human beings. I have a young man who was a heavyweight state runner-up for me a number of years ago. He's a very high-level MMA fighter now. But I remember in high school, I mean, he would get out of wrestling practice and go directly to practice for a play that he was in, or directly to choir practice. I mean, he was involved in about everything he could be involved in, and a lot of really positive things, and he was good at a lot of those things. I remember, like, just looking at that, and if you looked at this guy's big, strong, muscular athlete, and you never would have guessed it. But I thought, I love that man. I had another young man who was a 3-time All-American for Stanford University, and he was an accomplished pianist, you know? So I think it's awesome when people can be well-rounded, they don't pigeonhole themselves, and they have this passion just to always challenge themselves and excel in various areas. And I know that you, I know you're one of those guys. So we, you know, but you and I were both part of a really strong company and a leadership company. Mm-hmm. So kind of looking beyond sports, but it ties in with sports. It ties in with coaching. And principles are principles. They apply everywhere once you know them. All right. Andy Andrews, and we've got to hear him a number of times. He talks about that a lot. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the leadership principles that you really value? Because I know that you also go and teach and coach and you speak a lot of places. And I consider you like a leadership expert. So tell me just a little bit about some of your, and I know that I'm springing this one on you, and it's a wide variety, but what are some of the leadership things that you think really matter whenever you're looking at coaching, business, entrepreneurship, all these areas?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I would say, and I appreciate you calling me an expert. I don't know if I would give myself that title, but you know, when I'm shooting from the hip, some, you know, from a leadership standpoint, what comes to my mind right away is it's just being a person who does what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that is, you know, you could talk about John Maxwell's 21 irrefutable laws of leadership and all these and all this stuff. But if you can't master leadership 101, which is you say something and you do it, like that's leadership for yourself first and foremost. But it speaks volumes to other people when you proclaim that you're going to do something, however grandiose it may be, or just simple things, that you go and do it and people can expect that from you. I tell you what, you gain a ton of respect in people's eyes. And that's leadership that anybody can do. Like, you know, sometimes people get a little intimidated. They think leadership has to involve, you know, public speaking and doing something that might really stretch their comfort zone. It doesn't need to be those things. Leadership can be, like I said, just saying you're going to do something, and then people know that, man, if Chad says it's going to be done, it's ironclad, man. That thing's getting done. And so I think that's like the first thing that comes to my mind is just always do what you say you're going to do to the best of your ability. Okay. You know, there's no guarantees. You say you're going to win a state championship, that doesn't mean you're going to, you know, but that means you're going to do everything in your power to put yourself in a position to. Yeah. So that would be the first thing that comes to mind. Second thing would be my favorite quote that I kind of live by, and I think we can all relate to, is adversity is preparation for greatness. It's realizing that it's not about what happens to you, it's how you respond to what happens to you. And those are the greatest. I think part of the reason why people might think I'm, you know, to use your words, a leadership expert, is because there's just been a significant amount of adversity that I'm pretty open about. I have a daughter, my 5-year-old daughter, who the book that we wrote together was called Special Strength Lessons from Livia. And so she's got a special strength. In other words, she's got a disability. She's got a very rare form of epilepsy. So that's been a form of adversity in her life for sure, but also in mine as a father. And I've just been very open about that. And but I think we can all relate to adversity in some form. And you gotta understand that those are blessings. They're gifts. But if you don't see them that way, if you see them as these hurdles and these obstacles that are insurmountable, and you kind of have this oppressed mindset about things, adversity is just going to own you. Mm-hmm. So the best lessons in life that I've learned, and maybe you can relate, Chad, has been from adverse things happening in my life, and it really reveals who you are. And it's a very refining process. So those are the first things couple things that come to my mind on the essence of leadership.
Yeah. And you just talked about refining process. I know you're also big into personal growth and all these avenues, all these areas where you have entrepreneurship and you do very well business-wise with these, all stem from personal growth. But and it's not just about making money. It's because you have a passion for that and a passion for people. So what are some of the What are some of your top things for personal growth? Like for you personally, on your journey, through good times to ups and downs, whatever, what are the things that we should all be doing, man, to just continually to grow as human beings in every area?
I think you always got to have your nose in a book. That's probably one of the biggest things. I mean, my faith, first and foremost, has been the biggest thing. I wasn't always a believer. That happened later in life for me. I was 28 years old when I gave my life to Christ. So like being in the Word and being in the Bible, I think that's the Bible is the genesis for all personal development books, in my opinion. Like everything stems from there. You know, any other great book that I've read, I'm like, oh, it's in there, you know, it's just expounded on, you know, in this book. But anyway, so, but always having your nose in a book and having a routine. So like when I get up in the morning, my routine doesn't have to be your routine, but like I get up in the morning, I read a leadership devotional. I read a chapter in the Bible. I work out, I get after it. That just is something that just gets my mind right and gets those endorphins flooding, just feeling good for the day. And then every night I end each day with getting my nose in at least a chapter of a book. And those, so it's kind of like you're sandwiching your day with really good input at the beginning of your day. And then you're closing the chapter on your day with some really good input before you go to bed, you know? Cause for sure throughout the day, there's going to be, you know, things are going to get thrown at you and there's going to be some stress. If you got kids, there's going to be someone bad mouthed you, whatever. There's, you know, in today's day and age, you know, you can't even say a nice thing on social media and someone's hating you for saying something nice. Yeah. So you might as well start it good and end it good. You know what I mean? So that's kind of my routine. You really have to summarize that, you really have to take inventory of what you allow in. Because if you don't, man, in today's world, there's so much negativity getting flung at you. And you can try to, well, I'm not a reader or I don't do those things. Well, guess what's going to get inputted into your brain then? It's just a whole lot of negative. It's just the way it is. So you have to be proactive with what you allow in and what you choose to bring in.
Yeah. Let's expound upon that a little bit. And just because you talked about mindset earlier, you know, and that's something you and I are both big on, but and being a high level athlete yourself. And I know, like, if I could go back and change anything about my athletic career, I wish I would have had more mindset training. Whether it was me studying books on it or, and I had some great coaches that gave me, you know, information that I'm able to use and pass on now. But when I was competing, it just wasn't really a thing, right? We didn't talk about, and it was almost taboo, I guess. I mean, especially in a sport like wrestling where we're tough. Mm-hmm. You didn't talk about mental issues. You didn't talk about fear. You didn't talk about a lot of mindset things.
Right.
So, because you've been a high level athlete, I know your mind, because of all that, got stronger. And then now going through adversities and then, you know, consistently growing in leadership areas, how do people gain a better mindset? And what are some of the things that maybe you teach athletes or teach some of the people that you personally coach?
Well, I just going back to take a step back, Chad, like, I mean, I was a good athlete. But I was a massive underachiever though. Like it haunts me to this day. Like I had so much, I was really, you know, I was gifted athletically. Like I could have played at a very high level in baseball and football. And I could have wrestled at a very, I never even gave wrestling more than a high school season, never went to any camps outside of that. It was just kind of, I grew up in it. My dad was a wrestling coach. So I kind of had that. But I never really spent time on that craft other than just being a good athlete and figuring some things out. But when it came to the other two sports that I pursued in college, man, I just, you know, when you said mindset training, I wish I had that too. I wish I would have had my head screwed on straight. I wish I would have had someone sit down to me and next to me and say, hey, look, like your priorities are mixed up. Yeah. You know, you're spending too much time partying, too much time drinking, and you're just relying on this raw ability that you've always relied on, but you're not getting any better. You're not working on that craft. And, you know, all these things were taking away from my ability. So it eats me to this day, that underachieving process. And that's, but the blessing on the other side of it is, I don't let that happen anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like I learned my lesson, and it's a hard lesson when, because once it's gone from, you know, athletically. I mean, you can find other things, you know, I find other things to compete in, and you probably do too, but it's not the same. It's not the same, you know, high school and college. That's sports in its purest form, in my opinion, like pure unadulterated sport. Yeah. And when you don't live up to your potential, you didn't leave it all out there, man. It leaves a hole and it hurts. But you asked the question, like, what do I do to help people with their mindset when they're playing sports and whatever? I really try to foster an environment of fun and like kind of a carefree, try to elicit like a flow environment. Like, I really don't want kids to fear failure.
Yeah.
So like, if I'm the coach, I want them to know that I'm not judging them on them trying something and it not working. Like, I want them to try things. I want them to, because it's the only way you're going to get better at something is by trying. You know, the psychology of wrestling and trying a new move in a match, heaven forbid, right? Like, it's, you know how difficult that can be to get a kid to just, they've executed and practice. But man, when in that live go, even in practice, to get them to open up and just, hey, look, man, it doesn't matter if you get thrown to your back when you tried that thing. It's just practice. Open up, you know? And same, and if you do that more and more, if you have this, if you fear less of failure, man, it just allows you to soar and have so much fun when you compete too. It really opens you up. Same goes for baseball. Like, man, if you go up to the plate and you're trying to overthink and you're worrying about striking out, A, it's not fun. No sport's fun when you're worried about the outcome of failure. Like, you just got to go out and let it all hang out. So that's what I try to foster. It's an interesting thing though. Like, it's, you can't just say those things and expect a kid to get it right away, you know? Mm-hmm. So just try to reward effort and leaving things out there, and then correct from there, you know?
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Same thing. And as you were saying that, a thought that came into my head is, I remember my dad saying this one time. And so it's always stuck with me and I always use it. And he said, okay, let's look at football. If you took a bunch of football players and we just walked out and we found a field and we started playing one hand touch, all right, you're going to see some of the most amazing plays. You're going to see kids laying out, catching the ball with one hand. You're going to see them juking people out because there's literally no pressure. They're just using their athletic ability. They're having fun. They're able to turn it up. The same kid that did the one-handed catch, right? It was an amazing catch. You put him under the lights on Friday night and he drops one from 10 yards away that hits him right in the numbers. Because all of a sudden there's pressure. There's people in the stands. He's worried about, what if I drop it? You know, what if I mess up? So if you can get people to go in, because you're already going to be a little bit amped up when you're competing. That's just all there is to it. And there's nothing wrong with nerves. You have to learn how to embrace those and realize that's the body's way of preparing for battle. It can make you a little faster, a little stronger, a little smarter. And if you don't know how to use them, it can freeze you.
Yeah. You know?
But if you can take that athletic ability and trust all your training and go out and just relax and have fun, you're going to do some absolutely amazing things. And then, like you said, not focus on the outcome, because we can't control the outcome. We can control our effort, our attitude, our aggressiveness, our preparation. And then when it's time to go, let it fly.
Yeah.
And it's more enjoyable. And that kind of comes back to, and I've done this in wrestling. I've been on both sides, where I walked out and I wrestled to win a match. And other times I walked out and wrestled not to get beat.
Yes.
Completely different mindset. And if you go out and you compete to win and you're just opening up and going, win or lose, at the end of it, you're going to feel pretty good about yourself.
Right.
You walked out and you competed not to get beat. you're tight, you're worried, you're stressed. And like you said, there is nothing fun about that.
No.
And I think so many athletes from a young age, they fear failure because either they got yelled at or social or whatever. There's lots of reasons why they fear failure. So they adopt that mindset. And then when it becomes a, I'm doing air quotations for those who are just listening to the podcast, but when it becomes a big competition, they freeze up and then they don't enjoy it. And then they don't want to play the sport anymore. Or yep. There's all kinds of things that go on in their head, right? Mm-hmm. But if we can just learn to, like you said, as coaches, as parents, reward the other things, not the outcome, then kids will have fun, they'll enjoy it, and then they'll continue to grow. And guess what, man? You continue to grow, eventually you're going to get pretty dang good. And yep. You're probably going to reach a lot of the outcomes that you're striving for. Not everybody's going to be an Olympic champion or national champion. We're not going to reach all of them, but you're going to go pretty far whenever you're consistently growing and you're enjoying the process and even when it gets tough, because I don't want to leave that out. I mean, there are many times, no matter what sport it is, where it gets tough.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But that's also part of what makes athletics awesome and allows athletes to excel in lots of other areas of life down the road.
Yeah. I think you said something in there, you know, when you're not, you can't control the outcome. And that's where I think coaches really need to help foster that with their kids is regardless of the outcome, that they still feel loved, appreciated, supported. Parents, you know, that their kids know that their mom and dad love them regardless of whether they win or lose. That can be, I've seen that, you've seen that as a coach, where you know that they're going to get reamed because of a poor performance. And that's just, that doesn't create a healthy athlete psyche at all. But there was another thing I was going to talk about too, that you, when you were talking, it was, identity. I think like the reason, like it took me a long time to discover why I got caught up. When I got to in college baseball, like I walked onto this D2 program. It was a powerhouse program, nationally ranked every year. And I walked on and won the starting varsity catcher. I was a catcher and I won it. As a freshman, like that just doesn't happen. So I only say that not to stroke my own ego, but I was talented is what I was saying. But I started playing so tight. This coach would bark at you every little mistake you made. I really started to question my own abilities. And then, I really just started playing tight and not having fun at all. But it took me years to discover though, that like my identity was so tied up in just being an athlete that I didn't have anything else to fall off. You know, like if baseball or football, if that was taken from me, I had no idea who I was. And I think that's where faith too. I think faith is everything, but you know, when you are on the field of battle and that's only who you are, man. That's a dangerous place to be too. What allowed me later in life, because I competed after collegiate sports. And when I started to actually, you know, I'm like, man, I wish I had had this when I was playing competitively, even though I was still playing competitively, it's just amateurish, was my faith. Because I realized in the end of the day, like it just allowed me to play so much more free. Like, because I realized it doesn't matter. Like it matters. Don't get me wrong. Like you always want to put your best foot forward. So please hear me when I say this. It doesn't matter though, if you lose. It really doesn't. And because when you can surrender that outcome, like I might lose. Okay. That allows me to play. Allows me to play loose.
Yes.
So hopefully that made sense.
No, 100%. No, 100, absolutely 100%. Yeah, I have. And I've done this, you know, numerous times throughout my career where wrestling became my God, wrestling became my identity. And that's a very dangerous place to compete from, because whenever you're winning, life is great. And when you lose, it's detrimental way, way more than it should be.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden, like everything that I thought I was is taken away just because I lost. Mm-hmm. And that's not how it should be. And for me, same as you, whenever I found faith in Jesus, it replaced that, something that sports could never replace. And then I no longer competed just for me. I competed because of who I was representing.
Yeah.
And it allowed me to compete at a lot higher level and better because I was able to surrender it I love that wording that you said. So the young man I was telling you about, who is a high level MMA fighter, that was a good wrestler for me. Mm-hmm. I was cornering him in a fight and he was fighting a really tough opponent and he won that night. And then we were talking later and he said, I was really, really scared before that fight. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And you know, he's pretty open about stuff and we all get nervous before we compete. And, but he said, I was really scared. And he said, different than normal. I was like, why? And he said, well, my nephew was in the crowd and he doesn't have his dad around and he really looks up to me. It's the first time he's ever seen me fight. He said, so for me, I was like, man, what if I lose? I'm his hero and he's going to see his hero lose. Or what if I get hurt? And he had all these what ifs. He said, then all of a sudden he just realized, like, I have to surrender the outcome. I have to surrender and I have to realize I might get hurt. I might get beat. I might get knocked out or choked out or whatever. You know what? I just surrendered all that. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to go out and do what I was trained to do.
Right.
And then I'm just going to open up and just compete to the best of my ability. And he'll be proud of that. And then he ended up winning the fight. And actually he won pretty quick and he put the guy to sleep. But so thankfully, but I was like, man, and I think he was maybe 23 or 24 at the time. And I was like, how mature is that, man? Like, what a great mindset. He was able to overcome that fear just by saying, I can't control the outcome. Mm-hmm. I literally can't control it. So I'm just going to go out there and trust my training and do the best I can.
Yeah, man.
And the important part is my nephew is still going to love me, win or lose. And that's what athletes have to realize. Like, even if parents get mad at you, even if coaches get mad at you, whatever, at the end of the day, those who really care about you, they're going to love you, win or lose. It doesn't matter. They're still going to be in your corner. They may be upset for a little bit. And usually it's because they've just got misguided emotions. They're just showing their love maybe in a way that they shouldn't. That's not great for an athlete's psyche. And they have to learn too, right? That's part of the process of parenting and coaching. So, all right. Well, let's jump over to because I would be remiss if I didn't do this. And for anybody who is watching on YouTube, because I'll put this out on podcast, it'll be on YouTube later, but Brandon's built very well. Okay. You're rocked out because you work out all the time and it's a big part of your life. So, and you train people in these areas. I also have a health and human performance background, but what are some things that are our audience? You know, we have some real high level athletes, but we also may have some people that maybe just want to improve their fitness. What are some things that people should be doing on a daily or weekly basis just to help improve their fitness, whether it's nutrition, working out, some very simple things that you would say, hey, start here.
If you're not strength training, strength train.
Yes.
Cardio is great and all, but it's trumped physiologically tenfold on what it delivers to a body than cardio. So whatever form of resistance that you enjoy doing and want to, that you'll stick with, strength training. For me, it's kettlebells. I've just found, like, and I have an appreciation for all forms of resistance. I've been a strength coach, so I'm proficient with a barbell and dumbbells and cable resistance and all that stuff. But I've just found a passion for kettlebells because of the efficiency and the just the diversity of it too. Like, I can get so much done with, you know, a kettlebell or two. And efficiency in my life and in most people's lives, unless, you know, you're a college athlete and you have devoted time to train this, you know, you got a strength coach and you got an hour and a half to train, or you're a professional athlete and you don't have to worry about money. but for the average person, like, you, efficiency matters.
Yes.
So that's why kettlebells has become such a big part of my life, is because I rarely work out longer than 30 minutes, and that's including my 15-minute warm up.
Yeah.
But when I have my 15 minutes, I get after it, man. Like, and people fail to realize how much you can get done in 15 minutes when you really get after it. So that would be my first piece of advice, is find the love for strength training in whatever mode of resistance that is for you. It'll absolutely transform your body like nothing else. Secondly, I would say increase your frequency. I train nearly every day, 6 out of 7 days for sure. I usually have one rest day a week. And on that rest day, I'm usually doing something active. like, I want to use my fitness. I don't want to just be a couch potato. So like on my rest days, that's where I go. I'm a big hunting and fishing fool. So that's where I'm going fishing, or I'm going hunting, or I'm going looking for shed antlers or something. I'm doing something outside, and I'm usually bringing my 7-year-old sidekick with me. But you can train at a high frequency when you understand. It just takes a little bit of know-how, but you can disperse, you can program in a way where you can. That's the other thing I like about kettlebells. I don't mean to keep plugging kettlebells, but it's just kind of become my lane. Is it's not as hard on the body. Like, I don't get as sore. My joints, I feel like they're very joint friendly when you're proficient with them. So it allows me to train at a frequency. My fitness really started to take off when I went from, I used to be kind of like the 3 or 4 day a week guy with the barbells and the dumbbells, where I do a kind of a total body lift on non-competing days. So I do like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday total body lift, or I do a split Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday type of split. Yeah. And it wasn't until I started training with kettlebells where I started feeling really good and training 5 days a week. Then I just got like, man, I feel so much better every day that I work out. I'm just going to work out pretty much every day. So I've just, because of my background, and I program for a lot of people that trust me, is like, you know, I program in a way that it disperses the stress. You know, if you can think about, I mean, it's one thing to go lower body, upper body, but you can train your entire body, just about every day. You just got to know what movement patterns you hit one day, when movement patterns you lay off because you hit that the other day. And so frequency would be the other thing, is get underneath the bar. That's just a strength coach way for saying lift weights. Yeah. And increase your frequency. Nutritionally, and we could go longer on that. So if you want me to go longer.
Oh, that's great. You know. That's exactly what I do. So I love hearing that.
Yeah. And as you age, just make sure you take care of your mobility and stuff, warm up well and stuff like that. Nutritionally, I would say make sure you're eating enough protein. Like, that's probably the simplest thing I could say. You know, obviously, do you want to gain weight? Do you want to lose weight? You got to talk about calories, and are you in a surplus or a deficit? But whether someone's looking to gain muscle or lose fat, it's never about weight gain or weight loss. It's always about muscle gain or fat loss. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I usually always go to outside of figuring out their calories is their protein, making sure they're getting enough protein. Because if you want to gain muscle, you got to eat a lot of protein. If you want to lose fat, you got to eat a lot of protein, because you don't, and you got to eat enough of it so you don't lose the muscle when you're losing your fat, losing your weight. So making sure you're eating enough protein. And then we're both supplement guys, so I know you'll agree with me, and some of your listeners may disagree, and that's fine. Can you get everything you need from food? I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. I don't have someone cooking meals for me all the time. Busy life, 3 kids, spinning a bunch of different plates. So I think supplements are our best chance at getting an optimal nutrition status, making sure we don't have deficiencies in our vitamins and minerals. I know it helps me get enough protein in a day, because otherwise I wouldn't get enough through food. And there's just things that you can get in supplements that you're not going to get through food or drink that are really good for you. So I got to plug that in there so people at least have an appreciation for it, whether they do it or not. That's fine. You can be remarkably healthy without them, but I think you're leaving results on the table when you don't use them. And when I say using supplements, I am saying quality, safe ones. I'm not saying, you know, ergogenic aids like steroids and stuff that, you know, people shouldn't be messing with. Yeah. So, what else? So what was the first question?
Yeah, no, that's good, solid advice. Because so just talking about the workouts, movement every day, and make sure, like you said, make sure it's strength training. It's funny because, and I enjoy running, and I ran a lot, man, this summer and during quarantine and all this stuff. And for me, a lot of it was stress relief, more than I'd ran in a long time, but I still lifted pretty much every single day.
Yeah. And
you see people that only run or only do cardio, and they still look like they're out of shape. They're still have a lot of body fat and things like that. If they would just add in a little strength training, they could probably change their body composition pretty quick. But I love that you said, you know, your workouts are 30 minutes max. So, and I was the same way as you, man. For a long time, I was like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Monday, Tuesday, you know, Thursday, Friday. I grew up, my dad used to kind of do some amateur bodybuilding. So I kind of grew up around nutrition and working out and learning those things. I was probably one of the only like 6 year olds that had like Flex Wheeler and Arnold Schwarzenegger posters all over my room. And I was reading Muscle and Fitness magazines, you know, and so I just have a passion for it and have for a long time, but I used to lift like a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. And so there was a point where I sort of transitioned, started doing a lot more functional fitness and things like that, but just decided, and I'm going to ask you about your 300 here in a moment. I see on your social media, but just decided like, I'm pretty much going to work out every day. Cause like you said, I feel a lot better when I work out. And I do full body pretty much every single day. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like you said, kind of knowing the functional movement or the movement patterns that you're using and not repeating those and things like that. But I feel way better when I do it. I'm able to stay in shape. It's stress relief. My wife likes me better. Not because my body looks better, because I'm a much nicer person when I've got my workout in. And I feel like for me, I'm able to function better in every area of life whenever I'm working out on a consistent basis. My mind is sharper. I feel good emotionally. And if I don't feel good emotionally, I go work out. And afterward, it's amazing. I feel way better. And my stress is down and I'm able to be more productive. So there's just so many great benefits to it. I would say an average year, I probably work out, I don't know, man, 300 and let's say between 300 and 330 days. I decided this year, you know, Lord willing, I'm healthy. I'm going to work out 365. Now, it's not going to be hard workouts, 365, right? One day might literally just be 100 pushups mm-hmm. on that day, but that's going to be some sort of workout that day, you know? So that's my goal, is 365 this year. Still doing my, you know, certain days a week on my harder workouts. But even with my athletes, we go hard for no more than 30 minutes. It's about intensity. Whenever you can learn how to push yourself and be intense with your workouts, and you can build cardio into your strength training.
Yeah.
And I'm always about efficiency. Always. And this is funny. I don't think I've ever said this in a podcast, but when I was like a 9 year old, my mom and dad were like, hey, you got to make your bed every day. And, you know, when you wake up before school and this and that. So I would leave my bed made and I would just use a sleeping, like just another blanket. And I would just lay down on top of my made bed and pull the blanket on top of me. Or maybe it's like a sleeping bag and sleep in it and get up and just fold that blanket up. My bed was already made because it was more efficient. I did it for like a year. All right. My whole life, I've not been lazy. I've tried to find ways to be more efficient.
Yeah.
When you're working out and you're a busy person, and most of us are, you got 3 kids. I got 4 kids. Most people are busy. They have full-time jobs and are doing stuff. It has to be a priority, and you got to find a way that you can actually make time to do it. Mm-hmm. And don't have time for a 30-minute drive to the gym and then an hour-long workout and a 30-minute drive home.
Right.
Being efficient is huge.
Yes, it is. And then same, and you could say the same thing for supplements.
Yes.
Efficient. Like I call it the new fast food. Mm. So you think your fast food's fast? Well, look at this. Mine's faster. And healthier. And it didn't even cost as much as you can't even go through McDonald's. I never go through there, but you can't even go through, I can't imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, listener, for probably less than $7, you know, and I just had a awesome tasting protein shake for less than $2, you know?
Yeah.
So it's faster, it's efficient, you know, so. That's a good point, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and yeah, I'm an avid believer in supplements. I've trained with supplements. I've trained without supplements, high quality supplements. Like you said, I know the difference it made for me physically. And there's been times I've gotten off of them or tried ones that were maybe cheaper, didn't get the same results, didn't feel as good. And so humans, we literally are what we eat. And if you're putting good stuff into your body, you're going to feel better. You're going to perform better. And supplementation is part, and I see it as food, right? It's not all that we live off of. It's a supplement to our food, but it's part of that food chain, right? So It's like taking, I've got my proteins and I got my carbs and I got my good fats. I have all these things, but I can add supplements. Like you said, I can get a protein drink and I can throw a banana or I can throw some oats or I can throw those things in there. And I'm getting a well-balanced meal for really cheap and it's fast. I do it every single morning. So that's my breakfast. And part of that is because, again, I want to be efficient before I'm walking out the door in the morning. And hey, if people are able to go in and sit down and cook themselves some eggs and oatmeal and those type of things, awesome.
Yeah.
Our mornings, and even though I get up early and I have things I'm doing, whenever you have kids and you're trying to get everything done, you got to just find a way that you can stay healthy and be healthy. And yeah, so I'm with you 100% on the supplementation, man.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. Sorry. I don't know if you're switching gears, but the thing I love too about fitness is it has such a spillover effect to everything else in your life. And we kind of alluded to it. You know, you said you're a better human being when you work out. And I feel the same way. But what people have to realize is that I don't, and you probably don't either, wake up in the morning. I'm an early morning grinder. Like I get up, I'll be up at 4:30 tomorrow morning and I'll be working out at 5. I work out with a bunch of people too. Like I coach them, but that's when I would work out anyways. But I don't hop out of bed going, woohoo, yippee. No, I get to go work out. Like it is very much a discipline. And that's why I think fitness has such a spillover effect into personal development and leadership and overcoming so many other things in your life when you can develop this discipline, because every single day you're overcoming something that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Like that's most days. I'm like, I really don't want to work out right now, but I'm going to, I know I'm going to, and I come out of the other end of that feeling awesome. So like when other things come up in your life, like I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it because I know that I should. It's you're literally training your brain by choosing to do something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
That fitness actually does that for people. It's like you've probably seen, just like I've seen people actually transform their lives, all parts of it, because of their fitness. Yeah. Because they did that. So it's more than just all the things we're talking about. You know what I mean? It's such a personal development journey.
Yeah. Yeah. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. The way you do small things.
Right there.
Yeah. The way you do small things, the way you do all things.
You know?
And that's it, man. I mean, you start to create these disciplines, these habits, this consistency, and it transforms and spills over to the other areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 100%. All right. Yeah. So now changing lanes just a little bit.
All right.
I always like to ask my guests this question. I call it fast feet, man. You're an athlete. You got quick feet. You can pick all three of these and expound upon them, or you can just pick one and talk about as much as you want. All right. But just thinking about your life, I want you to tell me about a highlight, a hero, or a hardship in your life. And then why one of those made a difference, man. Why does that jump out at you? Highlight, hero, or hardship? Or a little of each.
Highlight, hero, hardship. I would say, let's talk about each.
Yeah.
Because it's almost easier to talk about each of them rather than to sift through your mind and try to come up with one. So highlight, I would say, when I think of a highlight in my life, it usually goes to sports. And so when I was a senior, I was wrestling. I think it was the number two ranked kid in the state. And I was wrestling this kid who beat me early in the year. My one loss, it was the first tournament of the year, you know, still figuring things out, right? Like it's just hard to be at your best at the first big meet of the year. And this kid beat me 4-0. He tossed me for 4, and then it was just a defensive struggle. And anyway, so I was looking forward to this match for the rest of the year. We never saw each other again until the section finals to go to the state tournament. And my old man used to always say, let the fur fly. And I love that. Like that was just, whenever he would say that to me, it would just be like, it was that saying that allowed me to just play free, wrestle free, you know, like just let it all hang out there, man. Let it all, however it shakes out is how it shakes out. Just like we were talking earlier, right. Let the fur fly, Dad says. And I'm glad I took the kid down right away. And then I ended up down five. Like he tossed me again. He caught me. I think he hit a high crotch on me, and on the way down, he caught a half, and I was like, I was down big. And that's where I just started unleashing, you know, like I started wrestling loose. Right. And I ended up reversing him with, as time was expiring, and I won 9-8. And, of all my sports of football and baseball, like that was my highlight, was a section final my senior year, come from behind against kind of like my arch rival. And that was that letting the fur fly thing was such a life lesson for me. I forgot it for a long time, but it's come full circle. So I actually use that, that statement. So that's a highlight. Another, if I can talk about another one, would be the book that my daughter and I wrote. Mm-hmm. That's just, that was a lot of emotional creativity. The number of lessons that she's taught me and to compile that into a book, was special. And it was never about how many we could sell or anything like that. It was just, really cool to hear how people read that book, and it really hits them. It hits them like a ton of bricks about perspective in life. Hero, outside of my faith, man. I mean, like, I want to give, like, Jesus absolutely transformed my life when I was 28. I was a party animal fool. And otherwise a really, you know, a good person, but like he absolutely transformed my heart, transformed everything about me, wrecked me in the most amazing way. And I hope that everyone who listens to this gets to have this experience where you were just the slate's wiped clean, but there's that moment where you're wrecked in the most amazing way. And then you realized that you, the amount of love and eternity being secured, and it just allows you to live. Yeah. Like up until then, like I don't even feel like I was living. Like there were some good times and stuff like that, but ever since, you know, when you're born again, like it's literally like being born again, outside of not coming out of the womb and stuff like that. But like you, it's like a brand new slate, and it's been a brand new life these last 10 years since I did that. So that'd be my hero. You know, there's other people in my life that have been heroes, but like that's got to be number one. And what was the third H? It was
hardship.
Hardship. I would say when I was, we've all experienced a number of them, right? But when I was 12, my mom got diagnosed with cancer, and she was told she had 2 years to live. And unfortunately the doctor was right. So when I was 14, my mom passed away, and, I mean, that was tough, man. You know, mom's everything to a teenage boy, you know, or just getting into their early adolescence, like mom's everything. And so, but what I learned through that hardship, like as much as it hurt, that was right in the thick of me being like a freshman in high school. And I learned to compartmentalize, trauma and adversity. So like, you know, a lot of times, you know, people go through a hard patch. You know, I think we're all going through a hard patch right now, right? But it can easily become an excuse for someone to do worse at everything else, yeah. You know? And it doesn't have to be that way. Like, you can grieve and you can hurt, but you can still be very productive and still grow in other areas of your life. And I kind of learned that, like it was a healthy version of grief was I chose to, excel, you know, like my other siblings, I had an older sister and a younger brother, and they took it differently. I mean, they're both great. They're my best friends in life, and they're healthy and everything, and everything's fine. But during that time in their life, they responded very differently, and it hurt them for a while.
Yeah,
you know. And I just learned that you can compartmentalize. You can still thrive amongst adversity. You can still thrive amongst trauma. You can still thrive when you lose a loved one. That doesn't mean that you don't grieve and you don't hurt. But that was the hardship in my life that has taught me the most about life was when I lost my mom when I was 14.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough, man. I mean, no matter the age, to lose a loved one is
tough,
especially whenever you're a teenager, like you said. And those are some times in everyone's life when you are really pliable and moldable, and so many things are shaping who you are and who you become as a human being. But learning those lessons from it, and we talked about this earlier in the podcast, right? Learning lessons from adversity and taking what seemed to be really bad things and finding the good in them. And then, man, I think a lot of it too is just like keep putting one foot in front of the other. What other option do you have, right? I mean, hey, we're alive. You woke up, you got breath in your lungs.
Right.
You put it in front of the other and then go. And then having great things that you're striving for. So you have like all, and we've said this, I've said this at the podcast, but all kinds of cool things that you're doing, right? As we get ready to close this up, do you think in your experience that, and there's different personality tests out there and things like that, the Enneagram and all these different ones, but some people are just more driven to try to achieve. Some people maybe are just okay with being like kind of like wherever they are. And I think that both can be good, right? Some people maybe just, they find one job that they like and they stick with it for the rest of their life and they're cool with that. And then other people like always want to like challenge themselves and find more. Tell me, like, for you in your personality and your life experiences, where are you at on that?
Definitely the, you know, the achiever side of things. And it, you know, it takes all kinds. So this is just how this is my perspective. And this is how I view things. And in your view and whoever's listening's view might be different. And that's fine. Like, America needs to learn how to disagree with each other and still love each other, you know? But my father-in-law said one time, I'll never forget it. We were at the dinner table and he said, it took me a long time to realize that it's okay to be average. And I about puked, you know? I'm like, phew. You know what I mean? Like, that just sounds like such a complacent mentality to me now. But part of me, there's times where I'm like, I wish there's a point where I was just, you know, that content, you know? And there's moments like that, but I'm most alive when I'm learning and I'm doing something. And 'cause here's how I look at it, Chad, is at the end of my life, we're all going to die. Mortality rate's 100%, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
So if we're all going to die, and if you can begin with the end in mind, and Lord willing, you get to live to be 80, 90 years old, and you're dying, and you know you're going to die, whatever, you're just, it's that time, and you're reflecting on your life. Are you going to be happy having done the same thing over and over and not really doing a whole lot? Or are you going to go, God darn it, there was so much life for me to experience. There's so many things that I wanted to do, so many skills I wanted to develop, so many people I wanted to meet, so many places I wanted to travel. You're going to have regrets. I just don't think anyone wouldn't.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm just going to continue to throw a comma behind my name, you know? And what I mean by that is like entrepreneur, comma, I guess now I'm an author, you know, you're the first person that's like referred to me as an author. So I'm like, oh, that's right. I did write a book. Author, kettlebell guy, supplement guy, man of faith, wrestling coach. I'm sure I'll coach baseball again. And I just want to keep putting commas behind my name. Like, and these are all the things that I've done, and not, and for no other reason, not to brag, not to, you know, put on a plaque on my wall, but just to know that I lived, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. And that's one of the things I love about you, man. Like, you dream big and you go after it. And that inspires me. That, so to see people that aren't afraid to think big, dream big, and then go after it and step into action, not fear of failure. And if it doesn't work out, they'll just keep going until they find a way to make it work, or they'll find the next thing. That inspires me. And so I hope the people that are listening will be inspired to, you know, start that business, pursue that fitness journey, go on that vacation, or start saving money to go on that dream vacation, or take their family to Disney, or whatever it is that they want to do, and not let fear or anything else hold them back and keep up. And you said the word content. I want to be like Paul. I want to like learn to be content in all situations, right, but also want to be able to continue to strive and go after things and grow and live. And then hopefully, like you said, Lord willing, I'm 80 or 90, 95 years old, whatever, and I'm going to pass away. I kind of want my gas tank to be empty.
Right.
Yeah. I want to look back and be like, man, all these things I did, I went after them.
Yeah.
And now, like, Lord, I'm ready to come home, man. Bring me home. And
you know, I'm reading this book right now. I don't mean to drag this out any further. I'm reading the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn. And if you haven't, it's been sitting on my bookshelf for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm a few chapters in, but like, it's pretty fascinating when you realize what's in store for us yet. Like, this is a pretty great place. This can be a pretty great life and a pretty great planet and a pretty great place to be if you allow it to be, and you go and make your life. But the next one's going to be even better, man.
Yeah. I have not read that book, so that's going on my list. Absolutely. So, all right, brother. Well, as we close this out, man, tell me where people can follow you on social media, follow your multiple companies, and then I'll make sure I put all these things in the show notes as well.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it. You can find me at Well Built Humans on Facebook and Instagram. Everything's Well Built. So Well Built Humans. If you want to follow Well Built Supplements, it's the same thing on Facebook and Instagram. It's Well Built Supplements. If it's kettlebells, it's Well Built Kettlebells. So those are all Well Built brands. And I'd be honored if you guys followed me. I give a lot of free content, ask for nothing in return. You know, just want to serve others and live, man, just like we talked about, Chad. Just serve others, live, and leave a life with our gas tanks empty, man.
Yeah. And then you guys, when you go follow those, make sure that you sign up for Brandon's email, because I get his emails, and there's a lot of inspiration that comes from those as well, man. So I want you to know that. So I'm signed up on your email list, and every time they come out, I'm reading your blog, I'm reading the things that you have on there, and I always click when I'm done, and I'm inspired every time I'm closing it. So you guys make sure that you sign up for that email list as well. So, Thanks, all right, Jeff, brother. Yeah. Thank you for being on, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's been an honor. Let's do it again sometime.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right, brother. Everybody, this is Brandon LaRue. And again, I'm going to put all of his links in our show notes. So go and check those out. And until next time, man, may God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. We're out.
Out.
Hey guys, I want to encourage you to go over to bostonscally.com. If you wear scally caps, aka flat caps, apple caps, whatever you call them, whatever part of the country you're in, Boston Scally has the absolute best, hands down, quality, culture, and blue collar work ethic, baby. Blue collar mentality. That's what they're all about at Boston Scally. They also have fresh t-shirts, hoodies, things like that. But really, man, if you're rocking the scally cap, go over and get one. Each one has its own story, and they all connect back to culture. So for me, whenever I'm rocking the Scally, I only go with bostonscally.com. And if you're going to order, be sure to use the code COACHP to get yourself a 15% discount. bostonscally.com.
podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock, and rock. Coach P